So this morning, we'd like to turn, first of all, to John chapter 14. We're going to look at the church, the beginning of the church, and then after lunch, the completion of the church. I was thinking it would be wrong to say, if we think about the beginning of the church, to call the next message the end of the church, because the church never ends. And then we couldn't really say, I was trying to think, the best way is to say the completion of the church, because there's a time coming when the membership to the universal church of Christ will be closed, but it lasts for eternity. So we're going to look at when it began. Of course, that's in history. It was in the purposes and plans of the Lord in eternity that he would bring into this fruition, this one that would be the bride of Christ. But in time, it had a beginning. And so we read in John chapter 14 and verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, when we think about the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have to think. I was just thinking of it in a logical way. And the Lord said that he was going to, in John chapter 14, he was going to go and prepare a place for them. And so he's going to go away. And John chapter 16, he says, it's to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, I can't send the Spirit. And so he had to go away in order for the Spirit to come. And of course, he had to go away for the Spirit to come, because it's through the Spirit that he will build his church. But then he said, I go to prepare a place for you so that I can come again and receive you to myself. And so he had to go away to send the Spirit. He had to go away to build the church. And he had to go away to come again and receive his people. And so in these I will statements of the Lord, it's very beautiful. He says, I will send my Spirit. That's the beginning of the church. I will build my church. That's a process that's going on today. The I will send my Spirit's already happened. Right now, presently, he is building his church. And then still future is, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, of course, is to be distinguished from the filling of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a sovereign work of God. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior this morning, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you've been placed into the body of Christ. And so you have the Spirit dwelling within you. The moment you trusted him, the Spirit dwells within you, and you are placed in the body of Christ. Now, there was the initial baptism that happened at Pentecost to the first 120 believers. That's answer to the Lord's prophecy that he would send his Spirit. And so we're going to look at this morning. But to distinguish it from the filling, the baptism is a sovereign work of God that we have no control over. It happens the moment we trust the Lord as our Savior. The filling of the Spirit, we do have control over. We are exhorted. We're not exhorted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but we are exhorted to be filled with the Spirit. And so we can think of it in a couple of terms. We can think of it as just like we can't rely on last week's meal to keep us nourished. We need to eat every day. And our car needs to be filled constantly, because it will run on empty. And as believers, we can start running on empty, and sometimes it can happen and we don't even realize it. We just keep doing what we're doing, and before long, we realize I'm doing this relying on myself, and I'm not spending time with the Lord. We need that constant filling of the Holy Spirit. And when it says to be filled with the Spirit, it means to be completely under the control of the Holy Spirit, to hear God guiding us and to be led by the Spirit, to be walking in the Spirit. The example is used, the comparison to someone being drunk with wine, who is completely under the control of that wine. But we are to be completely under the control of the Holy Spirit. And so the filling of the Spirit we have control over, and it's a Lord willing, a daily experience for us. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a sovereign work of God, initially at Pentecost when the church was born. And then for each believer, as they're added, they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and placed in the body of Christ. So the way I thought we'd look at this is to look at it in three ways. The prophetic word by the Lord, the prophecy of the birth of the church, the historical event, and then the doctrinal part of it. Historical, prophetic, historical, and doctrinal. So here in John chapter 14, we have the prophetic. And there are, of course, other places in John's gospel where the Lord promises that he will send the Spirit. And so he begins by saying in verse 16, I will pray the Father. And I mentioned he said in other places he would build his church, he will come again, the completion of the church. But when we think about the Lord's I wills, it's a great encouragement to us. And I think a brother even might have mentioned that this morning in the first meeting about how something's as good as done when the Lord says he will do it. And we can take great encouragement from God's word when we look through it and see when the Lord says he will do something, it's either already happened or you can be sure that it will happen in the future. Because the Lord cannot fail. He's the all-powerful God, and he's the God that is true to his word. He's the God that cannot lie. And so it is said of the Lord Jesus in the book of Isaiah about his work, he will not fail nor become discouraged. He cannot fail. He's the all-powerful God, nor will he be discouraged by events or by people. He just keeps his eye on the prize, eye on the task, and he doesn't deviate. It is said in the prophets that he set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem. He could not be deviated. And when some tried